Subsequent Chief Warrant Officer Curtis Barthel, the new commander of the station Rockland. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me here.
Can you tell us a bit about Station Rockland?
Certainly. We have 28 people here stationed at the station, men and women, most of them very young men and women, probably average age of about 21 to 22 years old. We have three rescue boats here, a 47-foot motor lifeboat, which is our bigger boat, designed for the heavy weather, rough seas, and then we have two 25-foot response boats, a little bit smaller, a little bit quicker, but not as designed for the weather.
You say most of the crew here is very young people, but they've gone through years of training nonetheless.
No, not some of them have gone through a couple of years worth of training, but some of them we get straight out of our boot camp, and they're sent here as apprentices and learn the ways of the Coast Guard, becoming a boat crewman, and going out there driving boats and saving lives.
That's the way to learn, is right on the job itself.
Yep.
And what are some of the situations you put them into? I know there's search and rescue and buoy net maintenance are both very important for our area here.
Yep, we Station Rockland in itself is responsible for the search and rescue in the area, basically covering down past Matinicus, all the way up to Bangor, across the bay over towards Castine, Stonington. We do all the search and rescue for the area. We also do a lot of law enforcement. Our two main areas of law enforcement are recreational boating safety, making sure that the recreational boaters out there operating safely have all the safety gear on board. The other half of our law enforcement portion is commercial fishing vessels. And that's twofold with them. One is to make sure that they have all the safety gear and they're operating safely. But the other thing is preservation of the natural resources. We actually go out there and measure lobsters to make sure they're in compliance with the law.
Now, when you'd be measuring lobsters, this would be for the offshore lobster fishery, or is it?
No, all over. All over. State waters and the offshore. So it's just it's part of ours with working with Maine and stuff like that. So yeah, we're very involved in the lobster fishery.
As far as the safety checks, are you finding any sort of common blunder that people are making, or what are the major safety issues you find on commercial and recreational vessels?
Most of the commercial vessels, occasionally you'll run into maybe somebody having an expired flare, but most of the commercial vessels are up to speed in their safety. I mean, it's basically their lives, and they're going to do what they need to do. So very rarely do you find somebody with a commercial violation. Recreational boaters, it's just being unaware sometimes of the rules, or one of the other common ones you see a lot is expired flares. People forget to check that their flares are expired. And, I always liken it to, when do you know your taillight is out on your car? Well, it's usually when the cop pulls you over and says, hey, your taillight's out. But, reminding people that, stuff like flares does have an expiration date on it. The proper life jacket, especially when it comes to kids, there's different size life jackets for kids. Once you reach the, I believe it's the 90 pound and over, then it's a standard universal life jacket. But for the kid, I want to say there's two or three different sizes for the
literally
kids.
Literally toddler size and
baby, and then young adult, and then I think it's like 0 to 20, and then 20 to 50, and 50 to 90. I'm not 100% sure, but yeah. So that's the other big thing is, I believe, I have to double check, but the state of Maine, it's either 10 or 12. Actually, I just wrote this the other day, but I don't remember it out, that under that age, have to wear the life jacket at all times.
Oh, I see.
So,
and what about those safety belts as opposed to a jacket?
It just depends on whether it's Coast Guard approved. There's different approvals for different types of equipment. What gets some people into a little bit of a bind is some of the stuff actually has to be worn to meet the approval requirements. And I think the other big thing that we see a lot of is the inflatable life jackets, which are phenomenal in the fact that they're very lightweight, they're very comfortable to wear, people can wear them all the time, but with the inflatable life jacket, there's a lot of maintenance that goes with it, especially if you have one that automatically inflates. There's like ours that we can wear. We don't wear inflatable life jackets, but something that the Coast Guard has, there's a monthly device that has to be changed out so it will auto inflate. So you got to read the owner's manual with your life jacket. That's the thing, that's my word. If you have an auto inflation life jacket, please read the owner's manual.
What about the enforcement? Are there if there's a report of a vessel that's been very erratic? Have you ever had to pull over a drunken recreational vessel?
We have not had a boating while intoxicated since I've been here in June. They have done it in the past. We will enforce boating while intoxicated. It is a major issue. Usually in that case, depending upon where we're at, we will not take it as a federal case. It will be turned over to either the state or the locals. And all of the communities in this area, all the local law enforcement, are very cooperative with that. But if we were to come across somebody on a Friday night, intoxicated in Rockland Harbor, we would just bring them back, and then the Rockland PD would pick them up and take them from there. So great state and local cooperation with that.
And speaking of cooperation, I assume that in the cause of Homeland Security, there's some kind of drilling that you do with the local harbor masters or other state officials and so on.
Actually, as a matter of fact, we just got there was a big exercise up in Waldo County last weekend, and we partook in that. The scenario was the cruise ship being taken over by terrorists, and so we got involved in that, provided support for that, and also worked with the Maine civil support team, and a great bunch of civil support guys, but no boats. They can handle the cruise ship once they get on the cruise ship and can take it back and are, readily available. They just have no way to get to the cruise ship. So,
I see.
So that, they have the manpower to take back the cruise ship, where I don't. I have the boat, so it's a phenomenal exercise working with these.
Well, that's good, and so that gives you a chance to iron out any gaps that are there.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And the main security team with the state troopers was there also. And we do a lot of work with the Maine Marine Patrol also. We have some MOUs with them, and do a lot of work with them. And even fisheries enforcement, if we find something out there that doesn't look right, but doesn't meet the federal fisheries, we'll call up the Maine Marine Patrol and say, hey, this doesn't look right, what do you guys think? And then they'll go out and take care of it. So
come out and take a look.
Great relationship with them.
Tell me about your last posting. Where was that?
I came from New York City.
Well, that's one of the busier harbors in the world, isn't it? Or certainly in North America.
It is. It definitely is. It's a change of pace. I tell people that I came from a city with 8 million people to a city of 8,000 people. But it was very unique. It was my first time ever being in New York City. I got to do a lot of different things while I was there. And honestly, I really enjoyed my time there. I can see where people are appealed to living in New York City. I'm sure most of your listeners living in Rockland, Rockport, and Camden don't understand that, and I'm not a big city guy, but I can definitely see where people are appealed to live there. So.
An awful lot of commercial vessel traffic then in those harbors.
Yeah, I think if there was one thing that I did not really put two and two together was when I first got there was the amount of commercial, especially right in New York Harbor. There's actually very little recreational traffic right in New York Harbor. It is just commercial traffic, and they're deepening the channels to bring bigger and bigger ships in there. The tug and barge traffic is just phenomenal. The amount of petroleum product that's moved through New York along with, cargo and container ships is amazing. Just amazing.
Did you ever have to settle disputes when, say, two barges, one refused to make right away for the other, or?
No, I didn't. That really wasn't my line of work there. But a couple of good friends of mine were part of the Marine Safety Office there, and were part of the Marine Investigation Team. And occasionally have collisions and this and that they would go out and deal with. But that really wasn't. Wasn't my round, so thank heaven they kept very busy.
Undoubtedly, you're very busy here too, in different ways. And can you tell us what you and your command here have been doing in terms of dealing with sort of the everyday emergencies that might occur?
One of the uniquenesses of Rockland in this area, all of the areas, the season is so short here, for the majority of the recreational vessels. And so, you know, it's basically, you know, June, July, and August when you're the busiest. And then, but added to that are these, you know, the different festivals, the Rock and Lobster Festival, the Lobster Boat Races. So, really, our demand is 4 months out of the year. And our biggest demand, now we're kind of moving into the more commercial side of it. So, you know, most of our search and rescue cases now, they come up, will tend to be the commercial level. You know, just out there, you know, people running aground on the rocks, you know, just disabled. You kind of name it. We had a boat fire this summer over here in the harbor. We responded to a boat leaking ammonia here in the harbor. So, and actually, I was up at 3:30 this morning with a we got a hit on an ELT, emergency locating transmitter, an airplane sending out a distress signal, and it was a false alarm. But so we get that, and then we got the boat underway to go do a quick search for that.
Oh, in case they'd actually ditched in the...
In case they ditched in the water.
Wow. Kind of a large area to search, I mean.
Well, they kind of had it pinpointed down where it came from, and I'm not sure how the whole satellite system works, but it basically sends out a signal, and then the signal is kind of triangulated. So they kind of had a small area that we looked at, and but it turned out to be a false alarm, and came from the airport.
From the airport itself.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That would be a typical week. Would be some scattering of those sorts of incidents then.
Yeah, it seems like we're kind of hit and miss. Some weeks we'll have you know, tons of excitement, and then next week we go you know, seems like nothing. Mm-hmm. And you don't really notice it until you write for the paper, and I write a weekly log for both of the local papers here. And you know, sometimes I get to about Thursday afternoon, and mm-hmm. I look at my guys, and I'm like, "You got to go get us some business. And I got a deadline by tomorrow."
It's been another quiet week.
But I think we've only gone 1 week, maybe, where we kind of had a quiet week this summer. But we try to keep active.
There's some fairly complicated waters in the area, and so we've got a lot of buoys, as well as some research buoys.
Yep.
So maintenance of those is another important job of Station Rockland.
Actually, matter of fact, we do nothing but drive by the buoys and look at them and go, yep, they look good here. The Abbey Burgess, which ties up here in also in Rockland, is a 175-foot buoy tender.
Mm-hmm.
The buoys are their responsibility. And they're responsible to maintain the ace navigation, we have a small 65-foot tug that maintains some of the shore aids, some of the lighthouses, and then the ace navigation team, Southwest Harbor, maintains. But yeah, other than making sure when we're driving by the buoys are on station, we don't have anything to do with them. That belongs to the Abbey Burgess.
So what is the relationship between the Abbey Burgess, the other vessels, and
Station Rockland, or actually the Rockland area, is one of the more unique ones in Maine, and then we actually have four separate Coast Guard units here, starting out with Station Rockland, which we have around 28 people, and we're the search and rescue and the law enforcement side of the area.
Mm-hmm.
The Abbey Burgess, which is a 175-foot buoy tender, they have their own commanding officer. They take care of all the aids and navigation in the area. They actually work for the district office in Boston. That's their direct boss.
Okay.
Then we have a 140-foot icebreaker here, the Thunder Bay. They primary icebreaking in the wintertime, and then summertime they'll go out and do some homeland security. They'll go out and do some boarding. They're currently right now in New York helping out for the UN General Assembly down there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're their own separate command. They don't work for Station Rockland.
Are they attached to Southwest Harbor, or are they...
No, they are attached to Portland. Our sector, our main parent command, is now in Portland. A couple years ago, we moved from Southwest Harbor to Portland. So, like myself, the Thunder Bay and the smaller icebreaker all report to the captain down in Portland. And then we have the last one is our smallest one, which is a little 65-foot tug. Does a lot of ice breaking in the wintertime, and they have their own officer in charge also. So we have four to sync Coast Guard units.
And so how does that coordinate? Do you have weekly staff meetings of commanders from all four of these?
No. The four commanders are all, we're all friends. We communicate. They all tie up on my tier. So I kind of charge them too much rent, I wish I could charge them rent, we get together, we try to get together monthly and talk about things, I'm always down on the pier, they'll stop by the office and say, hey, we got this going on, or hey, we got this going on, create working relationship with all four of them, they're great units in themselves.
And this may or may not fall under your jurisdiction, but there are vessels like the Raw Faith that are clearly not going to really go anywhere.
The Raw Faith would actually fall in two hands. It's not really our area. We have a Marine Safety Detachment up in Belfast works with all the commercial licensing and documentation of vessels. Anything when it came to something like that of a commercial vessel, that would be handled by our Marine Safety Detachment in Belfast. And the Raw Faith also falls under the Rockland Harbor Master, since it's moored here in Rockland. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I can't state to any extent the condition of that vessel, whether it's saleable, whether it's not. It doesn't fall, in our area of responsibility. If it was to get underway and break down, and we would go out and tow it bring it back. But the Marine Safety Offices are the ones that handle all the large commercial vessels. And they also handle all of the accidents or investigations. Like if two commercial fishing vessels collided in the harbor, we would go out and make sure everybody's safe and make sure all the lives are safe. And then them folks who are the experts in that area would come down and conduct the investigation and do their part.
So how is the relationship between Coast Guard and the local civilian population here?
Well, it's funny you say that, because I did a talk not that long ago. And, that's the one thing that's funny you always hear about Maine is, if you're not from Maine, you're always treated a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And, it's just not true. I hate to let the secret out, but when I leave, I'll make sure nobody else knows the secret. But it is really good. Myself personally, I bought a house out in Owl's Head. My kids go to the Owl's Head school. I could not be happier the way we've been treated, the way, we're treated uptown. Great working relationship with the fire department, the police department, all of the other local corresponding agencies. We actually just, myself and some of my guys participated in Knox County. They did a drill two Saturdays ago up at the high school. And it's really an area that we have no jurisdiction, no responsibility, no anything. But our part is we are all trained in emergency management. So, the county has an emergency operations center, but if everybody is up doing their thing, now they're understaffed there. So they asked, hey, if I could bring some of my staff in. And we did. We went in there and staffed their emergency operations center, because we're trained in that emergency management. We're trained in this stuff. And so we're a great backfill for the county. And it was great. It was great. And we had a good time. Everybody here in Rockland has been nothing short of phenomenal.
Oh, okay. Are there any new Coast Guard regulations coming down the pike that commercial or recreational vessels know about?
Not that I know of. Not that I know of. And I know, the big things with some of the states. I know New York and New Jersey have gone to licensing, driver's license for your car, licensing for boats. A lot of states have enacted the personal watercraft licensing. The other big one was the child, under a certain age having to wear a life jacket. But as for federal law, there's nothing on, nothing forthcoming that would be any drastic changes that I've heard about or seen.
If certain plans had gone ahead about a year and a half ago, there'd be a liquid natural gas port up on Sears Island, and you all would have an additional mission, I suppose, then. Did you work at all with LNG vessels in New York?
Yep. Harbor? Yep. We had, in the wintertime, we probably had one a month come in the New York Harbor in New Jersey. And, you know, the Coast Guard escorts the, provides an escort in with the local law enforcement. Then we sit on the LNG, providing a security zone around it for...
while they're discharging. And,
yep, and then escort it out. So, yep, that's what we did.
Oh, okay. And is there anything that you as a station are seeking from the community?
Everybody, like I said, everybody we have met has been phenomenal. The community has been great, involved in different community events. Some of our guys are involved in the Special Olympics. About 10 of us did the Special Olympics torch run. Some of the other outlying communities, we actually have people that are on their volunteer fire departments. So, the community's been great. And, the Coast Guard has been, opened up. And it isn't always that in other places. Sometimes we get labeled as kind of like transient population. Well, you're only going to be here for 3 years and this and that. And I just really haven't seen that in Rockland. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, I bought a house in Owl's Head. The school is phenomenal out there. They have, opened on my two kids. And, it's been great.
And it strikes me that the Coast Guard brings a certain cosmopolitan element to Rockland of people that have been all around the country. And perhaps even some that served with the Coast Guard overseas. That brings a whole something new to the city all the time then.
Yeah, I think, and as I tell most people, I don't think people understand the age of the young men and women, in this building, out there on the boats, saving the lives, conducting the law enforcement. And you're right, the uniqueness they bring. I mean, I have people from Texas, from California, from Georgia, Ohio. I'm originally from Minnesota. You get that diverse background, and the Coast Guard pops them in Rockland, Maine, and says, go out and do great things. And they're around looking for whatever, And,
right.
It's a challenge for them, but we have some outstanding, young men and women. And like I said, I think that's what people don't understand is that the majority of us are not from Maine. They adapt to being here and go out and do great things.
We've been speaking with Chief Warrant Officer Curtis Barthel, and I wanted to thank you for your time.
Well, I appreciate you having me. Like I said, we're part of the community. We're happy to be here. We're happy to take part in anything.